Well, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see everybody this afternoon on this very special Sabbath day. I always call these Sabbath days very special, and it's been a wonderful festival of tabernacles, festival of unleavened bread, and especially this year for me. I think every year has always been better, but especially this year, I think I've appreciated a lot more brethren, people who work to make something like this happen, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. Also very thankful to God the Father and Jesus Christ, because that's why we're here, to celebrate not only ourselves, and as the song says, won't it be great when we are risen? Really, can you imagine what it would be like just to rise up and then to see Jesus Christ as he meets us in the clouds? Awesome, fantastic. Well, I have a message today, but it's not about that. I just wanted to mention those things. But normally I start off with an introduction, and then I go into a specific purpose statement telling you exactly what I'm going to be talking about. But today I want to lay a foundation first. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to be talking about. I'll reveal that just a little bit later on as we go through. So if you want to open your Bibles to the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, and I'm going to read a few words here. This is a story of Saul and how Saul missed the boat in regards to God's words and understanding what God was telling him. So in Saul, in Samuel, verse 1, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people Israel, Samuel says to Saul. Now, he says, listen to the words of the Lord. In other words, pay attention to what the Lord says. This is what the Lord of hosts says. I witnessed what the Amalekites did to the Israelites when they opposed them along the way as they were coming out of Egypt. He says, now go and attack the Amalekites and completely destroy everything they have. Do not spare them. Kill men and women and children and infants, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys. This was the instruction, the words of God that Samuel gave to Saul, the king of Israel. In verse 15, well, actually, let me start in verse 13. Samuel says to him, when Samuel came to him, Saul said, may the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. And Samuel replied, then what is this that I hear, the sound of sheep and cattle I hear? What's that? And Saul answered, he says, the troops brought them from the Amalekites and spared the best sheep and cattle in order to offer a sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest were destroyed. And Samuel looks at him and says, stop. Stop with your excuses. Samuel continued in verse 17. He says, although you once considered yourself unimportant, have you become the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel and sent you on a mission and said, go and completely destroy the sinful Amalekites. Fight against them until you have annihilated them. So why didn't you obey the Lord? Why did you rush on the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? And in verse 20, Saul says, but I did obey the Lord. I guess in his own mind, he never really paid attention to the words of God. And in his own mind, he felt that he did. But he didn't, of course, as we can all very well see. I went on the mission and the Lord gave me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites. The troops took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was set apart for destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And Samuel said to Saul, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does in obeying the Lord? Principle for all of us, not only for Saul, but for all of us here. He says, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Defiance is like the wickedness of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. And so that was a very heart-rending lesson for Saul to learn, but he had to learn it. And it was delivered by Samuel. And Samuel is the one who anointed Saul. I want to go now to Jeremiah 22. I want to pick it up where there is another individual who also didn't listen to God's word. Jeremiah 22, 15 to 21. And I'm laying a foundation here. It's not the topic that I'm going to be discussing. I want to reiterate that. So Jeremiah 22 and verse 15 to 21. In verse 15, Jeremiah says to him, he says, are you a king because you excel in cedar? Your own father did he not eat and drink? He administered justice and righteousness, then it went well with him. He took up the case of the poor and the needy, and then it went well. Is this not what it means to know me? And he was trying to express this to this individual who was the son, and he was the king. But he says, this is the Lord's declaration. In verse 17, he says, you have eyes and a heart for nothing except your own unjust gain. And he goes on to express himself as far as what this individual was doing. And then in verse 21, God says, I spoke to you when you were secure. You said, I will not listen. This has been your way since your youth. Indeed, you have never listened to me. And so I would think that it's very important for God when he says something that people listen to him and listen to what he has to say. Proverbs 30, verse 6, I'm not going to turn there, I'll just read what it says there. It says, don't add to his words. And in Deuteronomy 4, it says, don't add to my words and don't take away from my words. Because God's words are very, very important. And when we don't listen to him or when we don't pay attention to his words, we get into trouble and problems occur. So listening to God or to what God says or writes in his words, paying attention to what he doesn't say is also important. For example, God says, keep the Sabbath day. What he doesn't say is keep Sunday as a Sabbath day. You agree with that? Okay, he says also, keep my festivals. What he doesn't say is keep Christmas and Easter. Right? So we know that. And because we listen to what God says, and we read what he says, and we pay attention to what he says, we keep the Sabbath, as we're doing today, and we keep his festivals, his holy days. So we keep what God says to keep, and we pay attention to his words. Now, we're not always 100% on that, but overall, we try our best. My topic, if you want to turn to Leviticus 23, my topic today is about when do we start to count towards Pentecost? So I laid the foundation of listening to his words. And I'm going to go a little bit further into what God says. So when do we start to count? Is it after the first day of unleavened bread? Because there is a lot of literature written on that. Very, very, I would say, very good and very scholarly literature written on that. And but also the other side too. The same thing happens on the other side as far as the starting from the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day that I'm referring to, of course, is the one that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Unfortunately, this topic is shrouded in controversy. I don't know about you, but I don't like controversy. I am looking forward to the day when we are in the kingdom of God. And if you have ever looked in the book of Revelation about the kingdom of God, there's no controversy there. Everybody extols the values, the virtues of God the Father and Jesus Christ. They don't say negative things to each other in the kingdom of God. It's brotherly love that exists in the kingdom of God, and controversy isn't there. So I don't want to feed the flames of controversy. What I do want to show you, though, is something that God showed me recently, because I've been praying about this as it comes up, and I'm scratching my head, and I've been reading the 50-some-odd pages, which is the Reader's Digest version of a 150-page article on these subjects and whatnot. And he showed me something that I just couldn't believe it when I read it. I had to open up my Bible computer software and go through all the scriptures, and I began to realize something, what God was showing me. I want to share that with you, because I think it brings a bit of clarity to this topic and the controversy as well. All right, in Leviticus 23, and we'll just pick it up, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. He says, speak to the Israelites and tell them, and I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. He said, these are my appointed times, moadi. That's appointed time. That's the Greek, the Hebrew word. The times of the Lord that you will proclaim as sacred assemblies. So there's a connection there. Anytime there is an appointed time of God, it's because there is a sacred assembly that has been proclaimed. The first one that he mentions, verse 3, first appointed time, basically, is for 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there must be a Sabbath of complete rest. A sacred assembly, you are not to work or do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord wherever you live. And I think God sort of put this there as the first one, because then he begins to reiterate what he said before. He said, these are the Lord's appointed times, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. So it continues on. He says, the Passover of the Lord comes in the last month, or the first month, at twilight on the 14th day of the month. Then the festival of unleavened bread to the Lord is on the 15th day of the seventh month. So for 7 days, you are to eat unleavened bread. And then he says, on the first day, you are to hold a sacred assembly. It's one of his appointed times. Then later on, he says, on the seventh day, you are to have a sacred assembly. Another one of his appointed times. And then we go down to verse 11, where the controversy begins. And he says, he will weigh the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. The priest is to weigh it on the day after the Sabbath. Now, if we were to stop right here and we had absolutely no knowledge of anything else in the Bible, what would that Sabbath be in your mind? The weekly Sabbath, yeah, that's right. I mean, if we want to be honest, it's got to be the weekly Sabbath. But that's not enough to give clarity to the controversy. I continued reading and went through the whole thing. They're all appointed times. Pentecost is an appointed time, verse 21. You are, on the same day, you are to make a proclamation and hold a sacred assembly. An appointed time, a sacred assembly. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a day of complete rest, a commemoration and jubilation, a sacred assembly. And then we get to the Day of Atonement. And he says of the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly and practice self-denial. Again, a appointed time. But on the Day of Atonement, he continues on in the latter part of verse 32. He says, it will be a Sabbath of complete rest for you. You must practice self-denial. And as it continues on, you are to observe your Sabbath from evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. So if I want to be honest with God here and what he's saying, if I want to listen to what he's saying, I don't want to be like Saul, and I don't want to be like the other king. I can't remember his name now. Anyways, I want to listen and pay attention to what God says and what he doesn't say. So we continue on in verse 33. He talks about the Festival of Tabernacles, on the first day of the Festival of Tabernacles, to be a sacred assembly. Again, another appointed time of God. And on the eighth day, you are to hold a sacred assembly and present the fire offering to the Lord. It is a solemn gathering. You are not to do any daily work. Again, another appointed time. And in verse 37, because the topic of Leviticus 23 is not feast days, it's appointed times, is what Paul, what the God is getting at. He's talking about his appointed times. And the Sabbath is included in that as well. But in 37, he says, these are the Lord's appointed times that you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for presenting the offerings to the Lord, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on his designated day. And he says also, these are in addition to the offerings of the Lord's Sabbaths. And again, I have to say, if it's Sabbaths, it has to do with the seven-day Sabbath and the Day of Atonement, because God calls the Day of Atonement a Sabbath. Here's what God has shown me, which I think will help you. It's helped me. And I have to say that, you know, although I was convinced, the way she's offering, convinced, I was almost sure that it was on the day after the Sabbath. I had still respected those who said, no, it's on the first day. But I wanted to clear up this controversy. I prayed and asked God to show me, and he is faithful. He shows us what we want and what we ask for. Here's what he's shown me. Number one. You show me that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. It's the day that we are to remember to keep holy every single week. He showed me that the Sabbath is also identified with the Day of Atonement, because he calls the Day of Atonement, keep your Sabbath from this time to that time. Number three, God has shown me that he never, ever refers to any other appointed time as Sabbaths. And I went through all of the scriptures on the Sabbath. There is not one time when God says, the first day of the Festival of Tabernacles is a Sabbath. The first day of unleavened bread is a Sabbath. Not one time. So, you know, here I am. I know these scriptures in regards to Saul and what he says, and the scripture where he says, you have never listened to me. Even from your youth, you have never listened to me. I know these scriptures. I don't want to be like that. So I'm listening. I'm saying, God, please continue to show me. And God does. He showed me that he does make distinctions. I want to go to one section in, Ezekiel 22. And I want to take a look at what I've always thought in regards to what God says here. And it has to do with an assumption on my part. I think it's definitely a wrong assumption. So Ezekiel 22 and verse 8. Okay, here it is. He says to the people, through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, you despise my holy things and profane my Sabbaths. And in the past, last year, around this time of the year, I always thought that when God said Sabbaths, he means the seven-day Sabbath. He means the first day of unleavened bread, the seventh day of unleavened bread. He means the Pentecost. He means the Day of Trumpets. He also means Day of Atonement, first day of the Festival of Tabernacles, and the last great day. I have always, always assumed that. But my assumption was completely wrong. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 23, and we'll see how God makes distinctions about these things. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And we'll start off in verse 31. So in verse 31, it reads, whenever burnt offerings are offered to the Lord on the Sabbaths. Now, if the Sabbaths included everything else, he wouldn't have to add in new moons, because Day of Trumpets is a new moon. But he also adds in, and appointed times. Well, if Sabbaths included all these things, he wouldn't have to make that distinction. But you see, God's word, when we look at it very clearly from God's perspective, not ours, not from our assumptions, but from God's perspective, I think we have to say that God has written it this way so that we don't get confused. And I, in my prayers to God, I have sometimes pointed the finger at God in the past and said, God, you're confusing us by not telling us in Leviticus 23 what day we're supposed to weigh the sheaf offering after. And God gently says to me, Mel, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And he will gently take my finger, and now you have four fingers pointing at you. I haven't confused you. You have confused yourself because you don't pay attention to what I say. And so here he's basically saying, he's making a distinction. There are Sabbaths, there are appointed times, there are new moons. And 2 Chronicles chapter 8, he uses basically the same phrase in 12 to 13. So at that time, in 2 Chronicles 8, verse 12, at that time Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the Lord's altar, and he made in front of the vestibule, and following the daily requirement for offerings according to the commandment of Moses, for Sabbaths, again, for new moons, and the three annual appointed festivals, the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. Are we listening to this? God's saying there are three festivals, but he's also saying you do the sacrifices on my Sabbaths and on my new moons, which is the Day of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement can be included in the Sabbaths as well. And then the other festivals, the first day of unleavened bread, the seventh day of unleavened bread, Pentecost, first day of the Festival of Tabernacles, and the eighth day, which is the last great day. Hosea 2:11. Let's go see how consistent God is through Hosea. And Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. I will put an end to her celebrations, her feasts, and the word he uses there in Hebrew is hag, which means feast. New moons, again, a distinction. And Sabbaths, again, a distinction. When God is saying Sabbaths, he means Sabbaths. When he says new moons, he means new moons. And when he says feast with the word hag, it's festival. And then he adds on after Sabbath, and all her moadi, which is appointed times. So basically in this section here, Hosea covers everything that God has made holy as far as days are concerned. And he's made distinctions between Sabbaths and appointed times and festivals and new moons. So God is pretty well consistent. I come to the conclusion that in the Old Testament, God never, ever calls The Sabbaths, anything but the Sabbaths and the Day of Atonement. So the first day of unleavened bread, he does never call it a Sabbath. We're the only ones who called it a Sabbath in our controversies. We are the only ones. So there are many, many scriptures in the Old Testament. I went through all of them. Unless I missed one, I haven't found one where God says, this holy day is a Sabbath. This first day of unleavened bread is a Sabbath. So therefore, when we go back to Leviticus 23, I think we have to read that again for the very first time. Now, I want to deal with also the New Testament. Of course, a few thousand years have passed, right, between Leviticus 23 and the book of John, which was written around 90-95 CE. People started calling God's appointed times Sabbaths. But not just Sabbaths, high Sabbaths. Even then, there was a distinction that was made between the Sabbath day and what they called the other holy days, Sabbaths. They call them high Sabbaths. God never called his holy days high Sabbaths. It was only people. People started calling God's holy days what God never called them. And so when we go back, we go back to the controversy, sometimes this adds weight to one side or to the other side, but to me it doesn't add any weight at all because it's people who made that distinction of calling God's first day of unleavened bread a high Sabbath, not God. So, and the church just recorded it that way because it seems in 95 CE, the church of God had sort of separated itself from the Jewish congregations. Not of the Church of God, but the Jewish culture and whatnot. And maybe that's why it was written that way. I don't know. And I'm not going to go into it because I just got a couple of minutes left to finish off. Maybe I could bring up just Colossians 2:16. Do you know what that is? Let's go to Colossians 2:16. Because Paul was well-educated in the law, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and so on. And I thought what he said was very interesting. Very similar to what God says in the Old Testament. Colossians 2, verse 16. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Distinctions. Let's not get confused. So, I am convinced right now, because I've gone through this, and I've read all the scriptures pertaining to the Sabbath and the holy days, and I'm not that scholarly, but when it comes to something that's very simple and straightforward, I have an eye, I think, for what God reveals to me and what shows me. And I tend to believe that God is very simple when he wrote his word because he knew how complex we can make things. So making it very simple and easy to understand, it's right there before us, but sometimes we just don't see. So in Leviticus 23, verse 11, my feeling now, I'm more sure than ever before, is that when you wave it on the day after the weekly Sabbath. In my mind, it's clear. But other people may not be clear. So God has to work with other people. He has to bring us all into the knowledge of the truth eventually. The problem is, and that's why I laid the foundation, we don't want to be like Saul, who is so adamant in what he wants to do that he will not pay attention to what God says. We don't want to be like the other king of Israel, whose father did okay, but he didn't. He had a heart for nothing but himself. And even from his youth, God says, you never listen to me. So I would encourage all of us, as we do our Bible studies throughout this year, I mean, this is the first week of the count of towards Pentecost. As we do our Bible studies and as we go forward, if you have a question Like, I had a question this morning as I was praying. I said, God, could you show me that in your word? I want to clear this ambiguity up. If you have a doubt, if you have a question, you know what? All you have to do is ask God. And eventually, he will show it to you as you dig into his scriptures. So, brethren, have a nice balance of this Sabbath day. I hope it has been helpful to you. I don't want to flame the fires of this controversy. I'd like to put it